Our next project then is another alternative. Angela Regan from Western Care is going to speak to us about their project.
Good morning, everybody. My project, or our project, is also around alternative respite solutions. And this time it's around children and families. Our project started in terms of thinking about what is respite. This guy looks very chilled indeed, and hopefully that's the result of respite. And really, the definition for respite is a period of rest and relief. It's actually not a building, which often is associated with respite. People need to come into a building. Not that at all. We actually all need it. And I think we thought about, how do we all get respite when we do need it? Possibilities. Natural opportunities arise all the time. As parents, we actually get a natural respite when our children are at school. While children are at activities, there's respite there for families as well. And I just note there that, have you ever had that kid's birthday party experience where the moms drop off the kids and head off and they go and get their hair done, or they go do their shopping, or they do whatever? Natural opportunities in a very real way. So we just needed to think about that in terms of what respite entails for all of us. And it's actually no different for those families that have children with a disability. We have to look at natural supports. That's actually where we get most of our respite for ourselves. Our sisters look after the kids, our neighbours, all of those natural opportunities. And again, to direct those conversations and those thoughts towards the families that we're supporting. Another one that I haven't mentioned there is families with similar needs, that they can actually support each other. In our project that we're getting off the ground, we're looking at about 18 families, some of whom are already receiving support in a very traditional way. We have three residential type respite homes, two for children with a generalized intellectual disability and one for children with autism. We've been working towards looking at alternatives for the children in many of those settings. And as some of the successful stories we've had is linking up families that can actually support each other. We've got a lovely story from this project at the moment where we have two families that both have sons with an intellectual disability around the same age, and they come to respite. And when looking at the purpose for that respite, it was actually for social opportunities. So we're actually linking those two families at the moment, and they may support each other. So they may go to each other's houses and go out from there. Really natural. It happens for us, it happens for our kids. So why not have that happen for children with disabilities as well? Some other opportunities that we're looking at, how else could we provide respite without using the traditional respite buildings? Looking at in-home supports is an obvious one. We had to look at varying the times. So you actually, from a cost basis, you can't match hour for hour an individualized in-home support service versus a congregated respite setting. But if you look at varying the times, so you don't have somebody coming in from 4 o'clock in the afternoon till 2 o'clock the next day on a Saturday, you just look at the targeted times. Is it the overnight that's crucial for the family? Is it the few hours after school? Is it the pre-bedtime hours? What's important? And that's really crucial that you get to the core of what's important for that family. And it's different family by family. One of the benefits for in-home supports to speak for themselves is for the child itself. Who of us would really want our children to be popped out to a residential type facility with staffing around the clock, different staffing, different people each time? So much easier for the child to be able to stay at home or stay with their friends or with their uncles or aunts or neighbours or whatever the case may be. We do support children that have some substantial medical needs as well. So there's a lot of equipment that goes with that. So there's kind of the ease of not having to number one, resource equipment in both places, or number two, hauling equipment from one place to another. That isn't for all. Not everybody wants supports coming into their home. So we just have to be aware that that isn't for everybody. Out-of-home supports, time with family members, time with friends, activities. They're all the natural type activities. That's how we all get respite for ourselves. And then some other home sharing that Liz spoke to, which is children going to spend some time in another family's home that are appropriately trained. Contract families, breakaways, there's some more formal type out-of-home supports. Capacity building. We need to get drilled down as to what is the need for the respite. Why are things so stressful? And how can we provide some support to actually bring those stress levels down somewhat? We need to share our tools. I particularly find this with the families that have children with autism. Where we need to share our tools so that there are supports in place in home that the families are implementing that actually help things remain a bit calmer at home and hopefully then even reduce the need for as much respite. And just in terms of the project itself, I mentioned that there are about 18 families that we're looking at doing something different for. And that is coming into a few different categories, as I mentioned, the different type of respite. And the challenge for us is the sustainability of that. Yes, we're lucky enough to get some Genio funding for 2011. We're able to appoint a coordinator to drive it. But how to sustain it is a challenge, and it'll be a challenge for anybody moving down this direction. And the crucial part is trying to unbundle the funding from the respite setting to be able to free that up to utilise it to pay for in-home supports, to use it to pay for host families, or whatever range of options that you're going to be looking at. And the challenge there is to look at freeing up the staff. If you're freeing up time, freeing up people going into the respite houses, you then have a resource to free up. That's the what. The how is another difficulty, because you're dealing with trying to get staff maybe to do something very different, or maybe to reduce their hours so that you've got funding to use somewhere else. So that is the challenge that we're really trying to drill down on to work out how we're going to do that in a very practical way. And Liz also mentioned in her last presentation about some challenges around what people wanted as well. It is a challenge that we're facing. Those that are currently receiving the very traditional respite are hesitant to give that up. And it's understandable in this climate where they maybe think that they're being tricked, maybe think that this is a trick to try and reduce the level of support, where really it's a challenge to try to do something better that actually does cost less as well, because part of the project is finding something alternative for a certain number of children, which will cost less, and then we will be able to provide additional supports to more children from that. So we're currently working that through with all those families. Those families that are receiving nothing at the moment, guess what, are very open and engaging around the process. And interestingly, are much more interested in the in-home and out-of-home supports and options than the people that are currently in the traditional settings.